you know, mankind. And we started that conversation on Monday, and on Tuesday we couldn't take any calls. So today we said we're going to dedicate today to hearing your story, if you've been a victim of gender-based violence before, and if you haven't, what you've learned since Monday that we've started the conversation, we'd like to hear. If you've been able to have something, you know, start somewhere that you've learned something that you've picked up. I have Olumide Omoshebi. Olumide Kadi Omoshebi is the founder of Gnosis Help Initiative. We have this program every Saturday, Relationship 360 with Onyechi Ekumankama, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Olumide is the facilitator of that program, the, you know, regular guest on that program. So yeah, and he's the best person I know that can do justice to our conversation. Olumide, thank you again. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you, sir.
Now, before we go to the telephone lines to hear people's gender-based violence stories, accounts of events, let's do a brief recap of what we've touched on Monday, Tuesday, say in about 5-6 minutes. Yeah.
The first thing you asked was, what exactly is gender-based violence? And again, gender-based violence is violence directed against a person because of that person's gender, or violence that affects persons of a particular gender disproportionately. This really is violence against women, because women suffer the most in gender-based violence, mainly as a result of relationships, positions in the family, and marriage. So statistics here is that one in every four marriages would end in a separation or divorce by the second anniversary, and one in every three women will suffer domestic violence or abuse in the first year of their marriage. So it's really a big one on the women, but here we are teaching women how to be smart about it, how to know what to do, because nobody loves you more than you love yourself. And they say a living dog is better than a dead lion. So I think basically that is, except we talk about kinds of abuse and then traits to avoid when considering your
That's
choice
right.
for a spouse. Mm-hmm. So I think we had two people give their story, male and female. So what we did not have, though, was reactions from people.
That's right. And that's what we have dedicated today, you know, for. Very quick one before we go into taking your calls. You are free to be anonymous if you want to be anonymous. You can also send us messages on WhatsApp if you don't want your voice heard at all. WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. That is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. If you want to call and share your story, and one thing I will just, you know, appeal to you is to be brief about it and you know, go straight to the point, right? The telephone lines are 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. Yeah, and please to turn off your radio if you're calling. Yeah, appreciate it. Let's see if we can drop this. Let's start taking the calls in right now. Let's start. Let's see. I think we lost this first call. Let's take another one. Good morning to you. I think that's gone as well. Please turn off your radio if you're calling so we can get you. We have Mayor's message. I think we've taken Mayor's message already, so there won't be any need. Mayor, I can see your message here, but I have taken your message. I think I took your message yesterday, and it was properly dealt with. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr.
Sherry. Yes, please. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Olumide. This is your male voice friend, Adeshewa.
From Ikorodu. How are you, sir?
Thank God I got you today.
Thank you.
Yes, I am a survivor of domestic violence, which we all know. But I have a question for you, Mr. Olumide.
Yes, sir.
As a teacher, I've had a series of children coming to me, asking me questions, telling me what they are going through. And if I want to actually, as in want to go into the matter, the thing will get to my boss, and the boss will say, "Kinitie, you know that kind of thing." I don't know how you can encourage schools, as in school owners, to actually look at. Some children are going through a lot. And I'm telling you, I have a lot of them coming to me. My daddy used to beat my mommy. My daddy used to shake me. This one. So, and if I want to come into it, you see those men coming, or the woman telling me, it's a good prayer, don't worry, God will do it. So how can I know that? I don't know whether I'm modeling words together, but you understood what I'm saying.
Yes,
please.
Thank you, Adeshawa.
The problem we have is that a lot of people are more interested in their survival. That is, schools are just interested in money.
The numbers.
Yes, and numbers. They don't want anything that would take a student away. You know, maybe a parent will come and not take that. They're not really interested in the welfare of... it's just several times that... there was a time, I think we did that this year, a student got pregnant for a teacher. And the school hired a lawyer to when we took up the case. I was expecting the school to also join to prosecute the teacher. But and they now came with a suppression request that, until it is settled, we shouldn't say anything in there. Of course, I didn't even... But, you know, looking at that, if I were the owner of the school, I would go right after the teacher. I would join whatever coalition I need to join to make sure this girl gets justice, you know. So it's unfortunate. Not only school teachers, school owners, also the authorities. You go to the police are even the worst in dealing with gender-based violence. That is why you go to the human rights, and you know, like the lady that called yesterday.
Right.
She went to the DPO in her area, and the husband came and said, after beating the wife, knocking her unconscious, you know, there was no sexual relations in the house. And the man came in, the wife has not slept with, they've not had sex in 1 year. And the DPO told this woman to go back home, sleep with the wife before she comes, sleep with the husband before she comes to make a report. Is that what we are talking about? The lady came after being knocked out by the husband. You hit her head on the wall, and you're telling the woman to go home and sleep with the husband before, because the husband is, because there's no sex, that's why he's behaving like that. Can you imagine? So
there's something fundamentally wrong in that area. Let's take another call though. We lost that one. Let me quickly take this one here on WhatsApp. He says, what should the man do or go that's how he puts it, when the wife is abusive in the marriage that has lasted for 39 years and they have 4 children?
You see, a mistake is a mistake. It doesn't matter the number of years it took you to make a mistake. Whether it's a decade, whether it is a century, it is just a century of mistakes. I don't understand when people use children to rationalize staying in an abusive marriage, because what you have done is to raise abusive children. It is, when you check the World Health Organization's page on domestic violence and abuse, you would see research has shown that abusive children were raised in abusive homes. They did not fall from the sky. Nobody was born abusive. They were raised abusive. They would become abusive. So, you know, it's here. In developed countries, the moment there's domestic violence and abuse, child welfare services, social services, they come to take the children away, because they cannot have another generation of abusive parents. It's in Nigeria that people will come, you have given birth to children, and then you now start regretting, because at your old age, your children would become the very abuser that you were complaining about.
Right, indeed. Right. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
My name is Diana. I've been following this particular topic.
Are you on Hand Street? We can barely hear you.
Okay, I'm using my phone actually. Can you hear me now?
Let's try.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's better now. It's better now.
Okay. I said my name is Diana Mon. I find the topic very interesting because I'm a victim. I was married for 6 years. You know, I saw the signs actually. My problem then was that I did not really have anybody to confide in. I was the first daughter. And I was brought up in a home where we see our parents as the mini gods, that you can only go to them for certain things. You won't, you know, you're not welcome to discuss personal issues. And even if you do, they don't take it so seriously, so you don't even try to. So I got married. I got married to my then husband. I have 4 kids with him, 3 boys. So from one problem to the other. Naturally, I'm not somebody that makes up my face. Whenever I go to my office and this, and my bosses see me making up my made up my face, they just call me and say, Diana, what is going on? You know? So several times I have, they take me to their washroom. Oh, yeah, go and wash your face. Let me see. They see the marks and everything.
Oh.
You know?
Oh.
But then what I realized is that no matter how much trouble you have in your marriage, we have been taught to stay put. They say, why? Because of your children. Oh, what will people say? So I was in that marriage for 6 years. As a matter of fact, I would have just stopped at 2 kids at most. But then people say, since he's asking for more children, maybe that is why he's been all of this with you, giving the third child, and it got worse. The night that I left, it was around 12 a.m. in the midnight. I came back. My story was a bit similar to that of the lady that called yesterday. Okay. That spoke yesterday.
Right.
I work in Ikeja, and then we used to stay in K2. So there was a traffic at that Otedola Bridge, just underneath the bridge.
Okay.
You know, it's an unusual traffic. And unfortunately for me, instead of getting home by at most 6:30, I closed by 6, but he has given me an ultimatum to make sure that I get home after the next 30 minutes. So unfortunately for me, I got home 7:15 p.m. And that was when all hell was let loose. He locked me in the room. My children were in the living room. He locked me in our room. And that was when the battery started. I was shouting. He had locked up all the windows. And, you know, the apartment is a kind of noise-proof place.
Okay.
I had to find my way, you know. I got the key. Because I think at a point, he wanted to go to the restroom to go and use the place. And that was when I found my escape. And by this time, it was already past 11 in the night. I found my way and I ran out. Immediately I ran out, I took my boys. They were already asleep because they had already been banging the room door. Mommy, open. Daddy, open. What is going on? So I think they got tired at a point and they slept off. I carried them like that. I was just dropping them outside one after the other. Then I came back to the apartment and locked him inside. So when I locked him inside, meanwhile, I had forgotten that he had the key to the main gate. So I did not get that key from him. So fortunately for me, I went downstairs and one of my neighbors was still awake. I collected the gate key. It took me a while, though. That was why I left there past 12. So what is my story? My fear then was, how would you do it? These are 3 boys, for goodness sake. You cannot take care of these boys alone and all of that and all of that. What will people say? But then I realized that if I die, just like the famous musician lady that had died, it should have been, at the end of the day, I would have just lost myself. Even my children would eventually grow and they hear the story and the world moves on. My first night was a terrible one. I did not have an apartment. For the first 2 months, I did not have an apartment. I was cutting with my boys, with a friend that was living in a one-room apartment. It's almost 3 years today. I give God the glory. So my advice to everybody, every lady or every man, because I don't think it is a single gender issue.
True.
Is.
True.
Don't die. Love yourself first. As a matter of fact, you come first. By the grace of God, because I asked myself a question also, that if I were a man, wouldn't I have taken care of myself? Wouldn't I fend for my children? So why the fear? I now work harder. Like, I don't do just one job anymore. I do 2 jobs. I do everything. If you want to do catering, I am there. If you want to sell anything, I am there. If you want to import, I am there. I'm an accountant by profession also. So that's just.
Thank you.
This is just
thank
my
you.
Advice, so
thank you so
make
much.
Make up your mind and do the right thing.
She said.
Thank
stay
you very
alive.
Much.
Thank you. Thank
let
you.
Let me just share my own story. At least let the water flow from the top down. My wife was married before to a gentleman. She, by the age of 20, the gentleman was 12 years old. I think he was 32. The abuse started, you know, they were in love. The guy never touched her. You know, he saw her picture and he said to his friend, I'm going to marry this girl. So he started, you know, contacting people, you know, where he got the picture. And then, so when the family did not want her to marry him because they felt this man is too old, but she was like, you know, women are sleeping around, you meet a man who wants to marry you, who is mature, you know, they think age means maturity. So she settled, in fact, she got pregnant.
Okay.
Her five sisters took her to an abortion clinic that get rid of this, if this is the reason you want to, but she ran. She said no, she would. She stayed. The beating started about, was it 2 months into the marriage?
Wow.
She had three children, made sure she did not work. She had to choose between her job and her marriage. Mm. She could not even do anything. He would bring, you know, people go and bring, have girlfriends outside. He would bring the girlfriends inside. The girlfriend would sleep on the same bed with her and her husband. Mm. In fact, she would cook for the girlfriend in the morning because, you know, the beating was crazy. One time, he hit her on a flower pot, you know, like you hit someone, and she landed with her back on the flower pot. Then her spine shifted.
Oh my God.
The part of the spine that shifted was where her womb was attached to. So her womb just shook loose inside her. By the time they got to the, she knew something had gone wrong. By the time she got to the hospital, he said, "Madam, your womb cannot carry a child again." You know, the womb is supported on two sides. And when it is loose on one, you cannot, said, you cannot give birth again because of one man. You marry a complete woman, you come out half of a woman. Eventually, you know, the beating got so much, you strip her, beat her, you know. And one day, enough was enough. She was in Festac. He did not even allow her to take her things when she wanted to leave. He said anything she acquired while in his house belongs to him. So she couldn't take her clothes. She only took her mother's wrapper, a pair of slippers, and 200 naira from Festac to Agege. He came some days later and dumped the three children with her again. She didn't have a job. She didn't have a house. She started selling, before it wasn't pure water, it was ice water.
Hmm.
Zobo, and she started selling. Three children, no job. She started following people carrying wood, and a graduate though, for 8 years, because she couldn't work under this man. Hmm. That's where she started, you know, following people into furniture and all that. I met her 15 years after with three children. She was 41. I fell in love with her and we got married. People said, how can you marry a woman with three children? I said, well, it is my choice. Sure. And thank God today we are still strong. We are very, in fact, it's, my point is this, life will go on. If she was dead, the three children would probably have three different mothers now, maybe working somewhere. But all the children are graduates today. You understand. What I'm telling you is that it is not the end. Today, because she was kicked out, she didn't have anything to do. She was
tired. Let's head out. Let's go to break.
Stay one step ahead with the latest news and trending conversations here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Please pardon me, okay? Let's take some messages. This person says, I walked out of my marriage 9 years ago due to emotional abuse and a few times physical abuse. I think most people, especially women, stay back in abusive marriages because of financial freedom, amongst other reasons. I left and it has been difficult raising three kids all alone with lots of financial constraints, paying school fees, paying house rent, feeding. It is tiring, and all efforts to get a better job has proved abortive. That's the message from the anonymous listener there. Let me take a few more quickly. This person, it's a long one, and it says he or she says they want to remain anonymous. I was 18 years when I started living with my parents because I left grandma's place. So living with my parents, so I discovered how my father get violent with my mom. Like any small thing, beat, slap, and wrong words. It did not get well with me. I tried to talk to him as a first son, but nothing changes. I decided to go violent with him. We fought like me and my dad exchanged physical punches. So after that scene, when I am around, he doesn't do rubbish with my mom. Now, the side effect to me now is that I am the opposite of my dad. He says, whenever my girlfriend do something wrong to me, I will just stay silent and avoid any kind of argument. So I open up to her on what I experienced in my family and that how I would handle any conflict. So she advised me to speak up than keep quiet. To a woman is another mean of emotional violence. So I have actually trained myself to speak up now. So side effects always arise from an abusive family. The main focus here should be the children, because they will grow up and become either same thing or opposite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I tell women...
Because keeping quiet really is still not good enough.
Sir Sheriff, once abuse starts... Pregnancies should stop. The reward for abuse is not to give birth to another child. Because what are you giving birth to? You are reproducing your abuser. He would train that to become the same problem you had. So once abuse starts, you should stop giving birth. You need to stop it. So this woman giving birth, and you see, funny enough, I propounded the theory that the more the number of children, most of the time, the higher the probability of abuse. Oh. You see normal people, 1, 2, 3, but you have 7 children, 6 children. Most of all the cases we had, single mothers of 6. Say, I'm like, how were you beaten, battered, bruised, pregnant? Beaten, battered, bruised, pregnant? How do you... And it makes it more... difficult for you to leave.
Let me take this message here that says, in the marriage where the man is abused by his wife and he's the owner of the house, what will the man do? He's anonymous.
What would the...
So he's the owner of the house, but yeah. Then the wife abuses him regularly. He's asking, what should he do? Should he leave his own house, or what exactly should he do?
I think if it is not working, it is not working. We all came from somewhere. We go back to where we came from. If it is my house, I can no longer... I take you back to where I got you from. It's not... I don't like the helplessness that some people portray. Like, I can't do this. I don't stand from a helpless or hopeless position. Marriage is not by force. If it isn't working, it isn't working. You go to the police, you go to the gender section of the state command, or you go to the gender section of the state CID. A report where there's threat to life... provocation, where there is a breach of peace, you know, the force will have to come in to separate you. Because before you kill somebody, you know, it's simple,
really. This person says, many men are also facing this issue too. They are not just bold enough to come out due to the kind of community we live in. Yes, we know that. As a matter of fact, the experience we first shared on Monday was from a man. Yeah, and this last message I read before yours is also from a man. So yeah, men are victims as well. This individual, I'm not sure they want me to mention their name, but the person said, they put their name there. The person said, I walked out of an abusive relationship and now I am suing my fiance for damages for even breach of marriage promises.
Yes. I warn men, don't start talking to women by promising them marriage. Some people just come, oh, I want to marry you. You know, this one, I don't even want to, I want to marry you. You get the lady to leave and believe you. And then at the end of the day, it was just to get in her pants or to get something from her and you leave. There is a crime called breach of promise to marry, especially if she has suffered some economic loss. She left another person who she would have married, or she went to invest money in. It's a crime now. So what happened to I like you, can I get to know you?
Yeah.
Instead of you are the wife, you know, as I saw you, I just knew, I just want to marry. I don't even know who comes up with those kind of lines and who believes those. Someone sees you for the first time and it's a marriage proposal.
I have a quick one, Olumide. So I have calls here, but before we go to the calls, the messages are coming in, and I understand why people would want to send messages in for identity issue and all of that. So I have this message here of an individual who sent me screenshots of chats, how a child, not really a child, but someone was reaching out to them about how their mom is being physically abused and assaulted and battered by their pastor father. And they even sent me the picture. They sent the picture of the pastor father. And he's asking me to call out the name of the pastor. That maybe when the pastor hears his name on the radio, he will stop a bit, because I think the woman is still a victim.
This year, the first quarter of this year, we arrested 7 general overseers.
What?
7 general overseers. The issue that when someone is a pastor, it's an office, not a person. Pastor is not a character trait. Pastor is not a person. It's an office. So when people lower their guard, I'm dealing with a case of a 16-year-old whose mother's pastor had been defiling for years. She's 16 years old. The man and gives her pills so that she won't get pregnant, and that she knows he's a man of God, and that the moment she talks, she would run mad. So she's been there. It was a teacher that got across to me and from my group, you know, the awareness against domestic violence and abuse, got across to me, was it yesterday? We have one that we arrested for sodomy of 3 boys, one Prophet Elijah also, sodomy, 3 brothers. You understand? So people, I tell people that you see, there's a difference between religion and Christianity. When religion has taken over your sense to protect even your young or yourself. We have several people who I told you, well, I don't know if I mentioned this, the other one, that the father just found out that out of 3 children, 2 belong to their pastor. The last born is his. So, people should just follow Christ. It's not follow your pastor. I don't understand. Follow if it is Muhammad, if it is Christ, you know, follow them, not follow man. Follow after me, no. And you sell your senses, you sell your sensibilities. It's just amazing.
Let me quickly read a message. We'll come to the calls in a moment. Please bear with us. I will just take this one because it needs clarification. This anonymous person says, the theory about the number of children indicating the degree of abuse is not true. I am the 7th child, and none of my older siblings reported my daddy abusing my mom. I'm sure this is not what you're trying to say, but please, could you explain
so the person would understand? What I said was, the higher the likelihood for abuse, not that it must mean. I said, the higher the likelihood for abuse.
Okay, now let me go to the telephone. Female-only line is 01465-7190. That is 01465-7190. The other lines you can call if you are a guy. It's 01-277-0993, 01-277-2993, 01-277-3993, and 01-277. I think that's it. Yeah, I finished it. Let's start now. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. Olumide.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the good job you are doing. Quickly, what I'll just say is that in this abuse thing, parents need to also have situations where their children are free to talk to them. Like, I had a friend a while ago when I was little. His cousin that unfortunately used to stay in the house where the mother siblings used to stay, used to see all sorts of things. So when the cousin came, the cousin used to romance him. He told me, I was close to his mother, and when I told the mother, she unfortunately told his father, who was this hard person, he now beat both him and the cousin. So I was like, in this situation, if anything happens to the child won't come to you again. Then Secondly, like we're always saying, apart from reforming the police, we really need to do work on this, our gender section in the police. Thank you, sir. Olumide.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, too, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's take another one. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Please, I'd like to remain anonymous.
That's okay.
The last message you read about the man that's saying that he owns the house, that his wife is abusive, I would like to tell him to get out of there, even though he owns a million. This is just my uncle's story. We begged him to leave there, to leave the woman. But because he was the owner of the house, I asked him to come and stay with me. But now he's dead. But now he's dead. What do we do?
I'm sorry.
He's dead due to his abusive wife. Who slapped him in every little thing. I can't talk. I just have to hold on.
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much for the show.
I'm sorry. If I may add to that, yes, I think I didn't really do justice to that question. If it is your house, you can leave. In fact, you can sell the house. Do you understand? Use the money to go and buy somewhere. I facilitated something like that last year where the wife said, Lila, she's not leaving. It's till death do them apart. I told the man to come to Yaba, spend some time there. We raised some people, sold the house at a good price. The wife didn't know. You know, one day someone just came with the deed of sale that, the house has been sold. The documents were his. And that is why we tell people a lot of times, especially women and, you know, in marriages, when you buy property after marriage, please put in your name because you don't know what will happen. Mm-hmm. Or put in the name of the children.
Of the children.
Because the children are the beneficiaries. The wife is not to give property to inherit for the husband, neither. So put in the name of the children. You don't know what will happen. So those are options. Sell the house, move out, sell the house. And then at least everybody will go their ways.
Let's take our last call. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Bye, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happiness for
this
me
is happiness,
do.
I know. How are you?
Say hi.
Thank you very much.
Hope we'll see you on Saturday.
Oh, definitely.
Of course, definitely.
All right, bye.
Bye. Thanks, happiness. Okay, let's make this our last one then. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, good
Hello,
morning,
good morning
to you.
Sir.
Morning, sir.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Yes, sir, good morning.
Yeah, Barrister Lumije, sir, please. I purposely call. I didn't call because of this program. My name is Peter.
Okay.
I just called to share just my experience with what happened to me in Ikeja day before yesterday. I don't know if I can go on and explain myself.
That will be a wrong thing to do because of time. You could reach out to Olumide, you know, off the program and then share what you want to share with him. It doesn't have to be on the radio. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that will be derailing entirely our topic for conversation this morning. I'm not sure we have time to go through this. But what we're going to do, Olumide, is I would ask you, if you can, share your contact so people can reach out to you, especially those who need. I can see tons of messages here asking for your contact.
No. Okay. Right. For WhatsApp or phone calls, you can reach me on 0909-3214-942. 0909-3214-942. And also join me every Saturday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. On this very radio station for Relationship 360. That is where you would be able to get more of me. And next Saturday's questions and answers. So it will be very easy for
fantastic.
You to just call in and say or reach me directly. 0909-3214-942. Thank you.
Olumide, we've been on this for 3 days now. I just want to say thank you for dedicating your time, your money, your resources to this cause. And hopefully, with this advocacy that we've done for 3 days and the one that you do every Saturday, we'll be able to change the stats to the
yes.
downward
yes.
Direction. Thank you again for
thank
coming, Olumide.
Thank you very much for having me.
As our show this morning, Lagos, do you have a fantastic day? Tomorrow is Health Thursday, so we're discussing health tomorrow morning. Good morning to you.
This is an infomercial.
The World Cup is a global phenomenon.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not sure.